We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Summer skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. One of food and one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promise. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. One of food oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by.
Church, I'll follow till I die. Oh, yes, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that promise? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again this evening. Certainly enjoyed the word last night. Amen. Brother David Seiler on When Grace Became Amazing. Amen. What a blessing it was. Looking forward to the service again tonight. And we want to remember Brother Barry Weber in prayer. He's not feeling well this evening. And also, we have a prayer request here from Brother Daniel Cooley. It says, please pray for Robbie Purcell. He had a heart attack has had two heart attacks over the past few days and is in the hospital waiting for surgery. He's a good friend and needs a touch for the Lord. So we certainly want to remember these in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening? Did you come expecting tonight? Amen. God bless you.
Bless you, saints. Let's bow together and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in your house tonight, Lord. When so many people are out watching ball games or grilling burgers or whatever they're doing, Lord, we have a place to come, a refuge, Lord. It's not so much the building, although we're thankful for it, Lord, but it's you in the building amongst your people. Lord, now we're a needy people. Brother Daniel's brought a request for his friend who suffered some heart attacks. Lord, we don't know the condition of this fellow. We don't know his heart, but we know that you love the whole world and you died for the whole world. And you can go and you can meet him where he's at. And if he has a spiritual need, I pray that you touch that. His physical need, Lord, just come and make your way to him, Lord, we pray. And for us here tonight, we all have needs, Lord. And you know where we're at, each one of us. And we just pray, Lord, as the preaching of the word comes forth, that it might touch those places in our lives and our hearts that need to be touched. If there's conviction needed, Lord, bring the conviction. If there's encouragement, Lord, we look for that encouragement. But above all, Lord, we want to hear your word, and we want to worship and praise you for all that you've done in the past, all that you're doing now, Lord, and all that you've promised to do in the future. Come, Lord Jesus, now amongst us is our prayer. We thank you for all your blessings, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I believe Christian Stutzman has a special for us this evening, if he come at this time. Is that how you feel about it tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that this evening. Sister Anna Pierce and Sister Leah Leek have a special for us this evening as well.
stripes that can heal and a blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not
Amen. We're certainly blessed tonight, aren't we?
Amen.
Oh, my. I was looking at Brother Lee back there thinking he's blessed tonight. Amen. To have children serving the Lord and look around at some of your children, see them serving the Lord and in church and a church to go to and a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs. We're blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. If the brothers would come, let's sing this together. Number 311 in your hymn book.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it. Fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows to care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Oh, everybody will be happy over there.
we'll be happy over there. Oh, we will hear nobody pray, and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy. Oh, let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, sing it. Somebody's hand while we sing it
tonight. Amen. I don't know. There's some people that think we're crazy, but we look at them and think they're crazy. There's some people that thinks that God is dead, that thinks he's a myth, that thinks he never existed. But I look around and recognize that my God is real. Amen. I see him doing too much. I see him healing too many. I see him moving on the scene at just the right time for me to believe it's a coincidence. Amen. I believe he's real tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Number 229, your hymn book. Oh, help me sing it tonight. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing. Them and their old websites can go on and just leave this bride of Jesus Christ alone. And as for me, I want to take God's part. Oh, my God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. My God is Jesus took all your sins away. Oh, but since that day, oh, since that very night, my God's been real, oh, and I can feel his Holy Ghost high. Oh, my God is sing this again. I cannot tell just what you felt when Jesus took all your sins away. But since that day, that very night, God has been real, and I can feel his Holy Ghost and power. Sing it again as Brother West comes to the platform tonight. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. Church, he's washed and he's made me whole. His love for me, oh, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can't. Well, some folks may doubt,
Some folks may scorn. They can go on and just leave the bride alone. But as for me, I want to take God's part. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. Oh, my God is
bless you, saints. Such a pleasure to be back here among you all again. I'm really excited about being here. I know that you all are excited about the new building and everything, and it's such a wonderful blessing in the way the Lord's blessed you. I want to thank Brother Nathan and his family for making us feel so welcome. I want to thank you all for making me feel so welcome in my family. You're such a blessing to us. There's just a special thing about showing up and knowing that there are people. I mean, when you get met in the parking lot saying, "We've been praying for these meetings," you know. And I asked Brother, you know, I said, "Will you pray for me?" And he said, "Yeah, I've been praying for you, and we've been praying for the meetings." It's so exciting to me to come into an atmosphere like that, where there's a pull from the people. Was it you, Brother Nathan, that was saying, "Did you come expecting?" I said, "Okay." You know, that's a saying that we hear a lot. A lot of times we hear it so much that it just sort of, it goes over our head. But I think we're going to zero in on that just a little bit tonight. So, if you will, turn in the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother Matt, it's good to see you back there, brother. Beautiful addition you got there. Second Corinthians chapter 10. It's a very familiar verse or two here that we're going to read. Let's read verses 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, as we bow our heads before you, Lord, I always lean on the thought that as we ask your blessing on the reading of the word and on the preaching of the word, Lord, I can't help but always remember your promise that your word will not return void. Amen. Lord, I stand on that promise. I know, Lord, that you're not just with us. You're in us. We're the called. We're the elect of God. We're the bride of Christ on earth today. And Lord, the contrast against the dark background of this world just makes these little lights shine even brighter. It's such an honor to be here among the saints, Lord. The Spirit, Lord, was so strong. I'm just so thankful it's not just on the outside anointing, but it's on the inside. It was so strong as I was listening to the worship and the singing and the praise, Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much for this safe haven, for this place that we can come together and worship you in spirit and truth. Father, I ask that you just swell from within us, Lord. Let the word just ruminate through this place. Have total freedom, Lord. We speak against any darkness that would come against this service tonight, any hindrance, Lord, in the minds or in the atmosphere around us, Lord. And we just ask that you have the preeminence, that you have the freedom to work here as you will, Lord. Lord, it's your will that we seek. It's your will that we agree with. It's your will that we desire, Father. And we just ask you to take free and total reign of this place tonight. Set me aside, Lord, and just use me, Lord. Just ride me like a horse, Father. Just do whatever you have to get your truth to the people tonight, to meet these expectations that they come with. I ask it in the name of the precious Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Expectations. Expectations are funny things. You know, I had a nephew who was in the Methodist church, and he was a young boy. He was about 11 or 12, I guess, and he decided that he wanted to be saved. He wanted to be baptized. Something had inspired him, and he saw that, you know, it was his time to make a move towards God. And with great expectation, he went to be baptized. And after the ceremony, my sister told me that he had thrown a fit. They went home, and he just went into a depression, and he just threw a fit. And she didn't know what was wrong with him. And she didn't know what had happened. Excuse me. She questioned him, and he didn't get what he expected when he went to the baptism. I think they sprinkle there in the Methodist church, and he went. They put a beautiful robe on, and they say some words. They actually repeat the Apostles' Creed. They talk about baptism. They baptized him in the titles. They sprinkled him. And his expectation was that the sky was going to open up, the angels were going to sing, that he was going to have a supernatural experience. That was his expectation. I just think about how sad Father must have been watching this scene unfold, watching the disappointment break this boy's heart. Because he'd been taught wrong, he'd been told wrong, he'd been nurtured on a lie, on a falsehood, on false doctrine, antichrist doctrine. He'd been fed something that wasn't the truth. He was expecting something that wasn't promised in the scripture. Had he been taught right, had he been told by a true son or daughter of God, in the case of his mother, to what to expect, what he was really in for, what he was really about to embrace, maybe the outcome would have been just a little bit different. You know, I can't help but think that. You know, expectations are so such a strange thing. We have so much investment. You know, it says in the scripture that we read opening up, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. How does an imagination exalt itself against the knowledge of God? It's because it's something we conjure from our memory and our experiences that might not line up with the Word. And you know, it's a devastating thing when our expectations are not met. If you think about it, most of the times when you get really, really angry, it's because there was an expectation there that was not met. It usually starts that way. It's like a progression. First, you know, you have this expectation. It's not met. What you thought was going to happen doesn't happen, and you feel frustration. And it moves on into disappointment. And then it goes from disappointment. It moves on from there maybe to anger. And then, ultimately, especially when it comes to faith, rejection. There's nothing more sad. And we all run into it. We all see it from time to time, where somebody rejects the faith because it didn't meet their expectation. It didn't line up with their imagination. It didn't line up with what they thought should be. And you know, it's so strange, the warfare that goes on in our mind. You know, if you back up and look at this again, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So there is a war. There's definitely a war. I'm very honored. You know, see, this is a big thing for me, because imagination is something that I have in spades. I've really got a lot of imagination. I'm an artist. I've always been interested, you know, in make believe. I was, you know, as a kid, I was interested in all kinds of fantasy. I wasn't raised in the message. I was raised in a Christian church, denominational Christian church, and it wasn't the teaching. It wasn't anywhere near the teaching that we have. I had comic books. I went to movies. I did all that stuff, and I had an imagination that went with it. I wanted to be a comic book artist when I grew up, and that's what I worked at. That's what I pursued, you know. And I went to lots of movies, and I was constantly involved in those kind of things. And you know, in the comic books, they had these advertisement pages where you could buy all kinds of novelty items. You could buy things, and this is the first time where my expectations really did not line up with reality. Because one time, there was an ad in one of these magazines, and it said you could buy your own 9-foot-tall Frankenstein monster with glowing eyes for only $1.99. This thrilled me, because I wasn't in touch with reality. I had no idea that $1.99 is not going to buy you a robot that's 9 feet tall that does anything. So I sent my money in, and I checked the mailbox every day, starting with the day that I put the letter in the mailbox. Every day I'd go out to that mailbox, you know, waiting for my slip to say, come down to the post office and pick up your crate. You know, I'd look on the front porch as the bus rolled up and was going to let me out after school, and there'd be no crate on the front porch. One day my parents said, Wes, don't get on the school bus today, because right after school we're going to pick you up. We're leaving. It was the last day of school. We're leaving. It's the last day of school. We're going to go straight to vacation. We're going to just pick you up at school. You don't need to ride the bus home. I said, okay. What they didn't know was I had no intentions of waiting on them to pick me up, because I had to check and see if it came that day. Now, here's the funny thing, and this is a coincidence which just happens to work out with me being able to preach this tonight in this sermon, but it did come that day. My parents were at the school waiting, and I was arriving home on the bus. I looked on the porch, and there was no crate. I was disappointed again. I go out to the mailbox, thought maybe since it's such a big crate, I have to go to the post office and pick it up. So I go to the mailbox and check, and there's an envelope in the mailbox. I pull it out. It had my name on it. I was thrilled. I thought, this has got to be it. You know, this is probably the remote control, you know, or something like that. I didn't know what was in this mysterious package, but I rushed into the house. I could not wait. I was out of breath. My heart was beating really fast. I tear it open, and there's a plastic bag inside. So I grab the plastic bag, and I throw it out, and I look in, and there's nothing else in there. So I look at the plastic bag, and there's something printed on it. So I pull the plastic bag, and it turns out that it's a piece of plastic, not a bag. And it was really long. And as I unfolded it, I saw the image of the Frankenstein monster printed on this white plastic with these yellow eyes. He couldn't talk to me. He couldn't walk with me. He couldn't play with me in my treehouse. He couldn't beat up the bullies for me. He couldn't do any of the stuff that I had imagined that he would be able to do. And it was such a huge disappointment. And when my parents got home, more disappointment. We'll just leave that there. But that was pretty disappointing too. So it didn't start off the vacation very well, to say the least. But I learned a lesson right there. I learned that my imagination did not line up with reality every time. Unfortunately, I didn't learn the whole lesson all at once in that one day. I just got the first lick in the battle. And it was a big letdown, I'll just tell you. Now, the thing about our expectations, you know, when they're not met, when the expectations of our imagination are not met, the disappointment will cause us to do so many terrible things. You know, you've worked all day. You've had a horrible day. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. No matter what kind of work you're in, you can apply this to what you do. Everything that can go wrong, it's just one of those days. And the only thing keeping you going is you're going to walk through that door and whatever you expect, your dinner's going to be ready or whatever. You know, your wife's going to be there and give you a big hug, tell you she loves you and everything's going to be okay. You got this image in your mind of what's going to happen. You have this expectation of, okay, there's a finish line in this day. This day will end and there's a finish line. And you go in the door and what happens? The outcome doesn't match your expectation. Frustration sets in. Then disappointment. Then anger. And then what happens to your behavior? It goes off the tracks, doesn't it? Then this thing just snowballs, doesn't it? It snowballs. Then the embarrassment because you got caught up in this moment of weakness and you've fallen causes you to go over the edge. You end up bickering and fighting. You end up in this situation that you don't want to be in. Then the embarrassment brings condemnation. And you know you've got to get ready and get to church. So you pull in the parking lot and you put on your church smile. Here, everything's just fine at our house smile, and you walk in the door. And you're halfway through the service before you can even tune in on what the preacher's saying. And he's up here and he walks out and he goes, "Have you come expecting?" You're, "Yes, amen." Amen. I'm expecting. What were you expecting? My goodness. In Luke chapter 7, if you want to turn there, you can. If you don't, that's fine. I can read it. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. We find John the Baptist. So if you're feeling like you're all alone and like you're no good because I just described your life, then at least you're going to have company. Who would like John the Baptist for company? Yeah, pretty good company, I wouldn't say. Okay. And John calling unto him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another?" This is the man who introduced him. This is the herald of the king. This is the one who made the great announcement. And all of a sudden, his imagination is not lining up with the reality of what he's seeing happen. Now, unlike the Pharisees, he's still pliable. He still realizes that he's not the one in charge. Okay, so he's still a leg up here. "When the men were coming to him, they said, 'John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?'" What were they expecting? What did they expect Jesus to be? And in that same hour, he cured. Now, he didn't answer them. You notice that? At least not yet. "And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight." Here's John. He's sitting there waiting on the answer. He's sitting there waiting, and the whole time he's waiting, he's not doing it with an accusing tone. He refuses to sit there in disappointment because John is a man who trusts God, who follows God, who serves God. So while they're there getting the answer, he's praying. "Then Jesus answering said unto them, 'Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached.'" And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Amen.
Poor John. Can you imagine his heart when he heard those words?
Yes.
He was embarrassed. You see, what a lot of people don't want to admit is John was expecting the same thing the Pharisees were. A knight on a white horse to ride in with a sword in his hand. To run the Romans out like the cowardly dogs they are. Like the infidels from the land that flee like shadows do from the sun. He was looking for the leader, the bold leader to come in. He had an imagination in his mind of what the Messiah was going to be. His job and his only job was to announce his coming. To get the people ready. That spirit in him stood against the spirit of the world, of the worldliness, the political systems, and the sin in the world. It stood against that, and it prepared the people. It washed them and got them ready for the coming of the Messiah. But he didn't know what the Messiah was going to be or how he was going to be manifested. He had a different imagination, a different expectation of what was going to be. So he started, his faith started to be hurt. He went down that trail. He thought, why am I in the situation I'm in? Why am I not standing by his right hand? Why aren't we pushing the Romans out of here? Why isn't everything back, you know, why isn't he taking control of the temple? Why isn't everything coming just exactly like I imagined it would? And when Jesus gives his answer, I know it all came home to John because he had the Holy Spirit from birth. So I know it all came home, brother. It all came home at once. And I'd say even though it hurt him, he was so glad for the correction. You see, our expectations are such funny things. I went to Happy Valley as a Baptist with a demon in me that controlled me, made me an angry man. And I could barely keep it in check. I could barely keep it stuffed down to where I wouldn't commit violence against my own family. Who knows, if it had gone unchecked much longer, I might have gone to that point where I would have actually been the kind of man that became uncontrollable and was ruled over and controlled by my own anger. But God had mercy on me. And he introduced me to the gospel. And through a little woman named Helen Littleton and her son, Darren, I was introduced to this gospel, the true gospel, the real gospel. To the messenger for this hour. To the truth. And so, I saw water baptism. That doesn't even take a revelation. But I did see water baptism and I thought, I've got to get baptized this way. And they wouldn't do it in the Baptist church. I asked the pastor, I said, would you baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, I thought you were baptized. I said, yeah, I was. But I was baptized in the titles. He said, well, that's who the titles are. He said, that, and I said, he said, that's one of them, you know. I mean, you just, I was like, okay. And I could see that some contention was starting. So I said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And I just acted like everything was okay. And I went on my way. And so I told Darren, okay, we've got to go. And I wanted him to baptize me, but he wouldn't. He said, you got to come to the church. And I said, okay. So I went. And I thought, well, I'm going to suffer through this service because I don't care. I didn't know who Brother Donnie was. I didn't care who he was. It didn't make a bit of difference to me. He was just a preacher, just another preacher. My goal was the end of that service. My expectation was to be baptized the right way, and that's the only expectation I had. I would sit at the table and look my wife in the eye and tell her I am so angry inside that I could walk through the wall as easy as I could the door. And I don't even know why. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I would tell her this, and it was just almost uncontrollable. Almost could not keep it down. It was like one of those pressure canners. The gasket was about to blow, you know. There was so much pressure inside. Well, I went that night, and I walked in, I sat down, Brother Donnie began to preach on idolatry. I didn't have a problem with idolatry. I didn't think. He started talking about it, and he said, you know, he started giving out all these different ways that you could be an idolater, things that you could bow down to and worship in your temple. That you could worship in your temple. He gave some great examples that I later went on to preach at the Baptist church, which got me kicked out. But he was talking about how a nicotine demon could be sitting up on the throne in your temple, demanding a cigarette until you made that offering in your temple. Oh my, how clear that rang like a bell. I thought, wow, I just came to be baptized, but boy, this is good stuff. You know, I was amening, and I was having a really good time. And he said, in fashion, and he talked about different ways that they use fashion to seduce people. And he went into that and talked about how you can bow down to that fashion demon inside of your temple. You can bow down to it and make an offering to it by presenting yourself in the worldly fashions of the day. And then he went on down a couple of things, and he pointed straight at me, and I was over in this side, and he pointed straight at me, and he said, you can worship this, you can worship that, you can worship anger. And all of a sudden, the whole room just went dark. I went inside of myself. Now, I'm describing this in grandiose, poetic terminology, but you just have to bear with me. I went inside of myself, and there was something else in there besides me. And at that moment, I was released from that bondage, and that chain was broken. That chain was broken, and I was set free. Now, every man and every woman and every child under the sound of my voice right now struggles with temper sometimes. Some just a tiny little bit, and some have a big problem with it. We all struggle with it just a little bit. That's a normal human condition that we have to struggle with, is controlling our temper, keeping the reins pulled in on this horse that we are riding. And so, you know, when I got set free from that, when that chain was broken, something unexpected happened. I came expecting to be baptized, but the God of the unexpectable, as Brother Branham calls it, came in and delivered me. A chain was broken. A weight was off. I went up and I was baptized right after that. I walked into the bathroom after the baptism. I looked in the mirror, and when I looked into the mirror, I was looking into the eyes of somebody else. Amen. And a voice came out of me and said, "What have you done?" And for the first time in my life, there was the other voice, the voice of my soul, who had been chained down for so long. I said, "You just poked the devil in the eye." I've not been the same since. Like you, I said, everybody struggles with temper a little bit every now and then. I mean, nobody's not going to get by without struggling with that some. But that anger, that pervasive, constant boil that was under the surface, that was driving me to madness, that was making me get weaker and weaker every day, that I knew that one day would take full control, was gone, and it's been gone since. The Holy Ghost came in, took its place. See, we're so fortunate because the Holy Ghost is not just with us. The Holy Ghost is in us. We are now the temples of the living God. That was an unexpectable thing in my book. That was a very unexpectable thing. John, when he heard this, he realized that God was doing this in a way that he didn't expect. But he was able to go to his execution in peace. Because I was one of these people. I was one of these people. I was blind, but I was given sight. I couldn't see before the true gospel came to me, before the Lord Jesus himself came to me. I couldn't see. I didn't know what I was looking at. I came at this message to destroy it, to pull my friend Darren out of the cult. I told you about it the last time I was here. That's what my purpose for living was. I was a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist at the time. If you had asked me, I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Baptist. I just go to a Baptist church. But I believed that theology, and I thought it was right. I knocked on doors. I did everything that the Baptists do. I had an expectation of what the kingdom of God was, and I had an imagination that needed to be cast down because it was wrong and it didn't line up with the word. Amen. That same hour he cured many of them of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. This is me. This scripture is a mirror. I can look into that mirror right there and I see me. I know there's others here. There's others here that have looked into the mirror of the scripture. And they've finally, maybe for the first time, seen themselves. That was me. I had blinded eyes. I had an evil spirit. It was gone. I had a new spirit now. John realized, he woke up and he realized his expectation was way different than what it should have been. Here's the real issue. This is where the problem comes in. So many people are offended when they do find out what the true way is. He told John not to be offended because he knew he wouldn't be. Amen. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Even John's ministry was not received by the Pharisees because he did not fit their expectations or their imaginations. When they looked at Malachi, they didn't see John the Baptist. They were under the influence of a political spirit. My own father in the flesh was under the influence of a political spirit. He was a politician. He was involved in politics. It's so disheartening to look around this world today in one way. I mean, we can look at it two ways. We can look at it as, boy, it's really awful. And we can also look at it as, all right, it's really getting awful. You know? finally, it's getting bad enough for something to happen, maybe. So, you know, we can find joy even in that. And it's hard sometimes. It's a stretch. But we can find that. We can find that joy. But my dad was politically minded. He ran campaigns for people. For senators and congressmen and governors. He ran the campaigns in the area where we lived, and he was really involved in politics. And I learned a lot about politics. I recognize that spirit. And you know, in the natural world, in the politics of the government, it's not much different than when it tries to sneak into a church, when it tries to sneak in among the believers. It's really not much different. You know, so it's sort of like I had the scent for it. And I could whiff it out real easy when I would smell it. I could see it so easy. And so that's helped me a lot, you know, not to get involved in those sort of things and to kind of stay back away from it. But I can tell when the devil's preparing somebody to slide them in, to push them into a position. Church growth is a glorious thing. When people are coming from darkness, they're getting revelation, they're sitting under a true man of God, who preaches the real gospel, who's got the Holy Ghost and is being led by the Spirit and not by a political spirit. He's not by a Catholic spirit where he's trying to have power over the laity. You know, when he's being led by the Holy Ghost to preach the truth, that is a liberating thing. It's a very, very liberating thing. And it's a wonderful thing. It's, you know, that when, like I said, when I was a kid, I had a lot of imagination. I liked the stories of King Arthur and his knights. And I had this idea, you know, of chivalry and honor and what they should be and what it was like to be an honorable man. And the knights of the Round Table, I often thought about what kind of men they must have been. They had a Judas among them too, by the way, that betrayed King Arthur. But they must have been wonderful, wonderful men, you know, is the way I looked at it. You know, they think it's loosely based on some form of reality at some point. But I thought of these men as honorable men and great men. And I look around and I think, you know what? There is knights like that in reality. There are leaders. There are men of God. You know, and I'm so blessed to be associated with some of these men, like your pastor. I'm telling you, he's not paying me to say this, okay? He's not but the character I see in this man is an honorable, godly, Holy Ghost-led character. You're fortunate. Very fortunate. And other men of God who I'm associated with, from Brother Donnie and other ministers that I know and associate with, I think of them as those kind of men. And, you know, so in looking at these powers, though, that come against churches, whenever you've got a move of God, whenever you've got something like this, where you've got a move of God, you've got a church, it's on fire. The Holy Ghost is here. There's manifestations of healing and miracles, all kinds of things. You've got the signs following. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is here. So what's Satan going to do? I got to give you a warning, folks. Satan's going to come. And sometimes he comes through growth. So we've got to be focused. I work with the youth at Happy Valley. People have imagination, and they want to help. They want to help. They so want to help. The Lord told me, I prayed, trying to find direction. How should I work with these young people? What should I do? You know, we have Dollywood down there. You know, we have places we could go. We're in the heart of the Bible Belt down there in Tennessee, and churches are very active. All the denominations are very active around us. The kids go to school, denominational kids. It's all around us, and they begin to feel a little bit funny. They get just a little ashamed of their Savior. It happens. The parents, they get a little bit worried. They get a little bit worried because their kids are getting disillusioned. You know, they get a little stressed out about it. They think, well, you know, I don't want my child to leave the church. I don't want them to run away from the church. I want them to associate good feelings and good times with the church. And they get an expectation, they get an imagination in their head of what will keep those kids there. So I'm worried about it all the time, thinking about it. Brooding over these young people, praying for them, searching for the answer, asking God to give me the words, asking Him to tell me, to give me the leading and what I should do to make them, you know, feel like they're a part of the body and not an extra group, not just this group off to the side of the young people, but that they are part of the church, not of tomorrow, but of today, right now. And there's temptations there that want to ensnare me and my leading in doing that, and the young people and their parents and the families. There's all these things that come against it, because you see the denominations, and the kids will get together, they'll have a fundraiser, and they'll go to Romania and they'll build a school building, and they'll come back with lots of pictures, you know, and here they are with all the poor needy people over there, hugging them and putting their arm around them, getting their pictures, showing the little building they built. They come back and they're so pumped up and they're so excited about this good work they did. And our kids go, why can't we do something like that? Is there anything wrong with doing something like that? No. There's not one thing wrong with doing something like that if the Lord leads you to do it. Amen. If the Lord's in it. If you're being led of the Spirit and that is a work that He puts before you and He wants you to do it, there's not a thing wrong with doing something like that. But if you just do it because your imagination of what a church should be is what's leading you, then you're going to come to disappointment. You're going to come to failure. Amen. And they get embarrassed. And it starts to bother them, and their parents start getting worried. So Brother Wes goes and he gets on his knees. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said, Wes, I want you to do a Bible study. I said, okay, what else? Just a Bible study. Do it on Monday night. Get them together and just put the word in them. The vision he gave me was like stuffing food into a baby bird's beak. He said, get the word in them, get the word in them. I said, Lord, they won't come. He said, do a Bible study. Feed them the word. Do a Bible study. Feed them the word. I said, Lord, they're not going to come. I said, I'll be lucky if five kids show up for this. I said, if I do this the way that he was leading me to do it, it was going to be strong. It was going to be solid. It was going to be line upon line, word upon word. It was going to be constant. It was going to be relentless. It was going to be without ending, just like a Sunday. So the preaching is going to be an hour, sometimes an hour and 10 minutes. And it's going to be more like preaching than a Bible study. And it's going to be taking concepts that they don't understand. You know, you gauge them. The Holy Spirit flushes out these things, flushes out these spirits. You start talking to a young person, and you can tell they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And it's in a sermon you've heard 100 times. And it has went right over their head because they were born in the message. And they didn't understand it when they were a little child. And they learned to tune it out. And when they learned to tune it out, they never learned to tune it back in. And their parents think everything's okay because they're on a church pew every time the doors are open. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the parents' fault? No. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, the devil would like me to tell you parents it's your fault because it would condemn you and make you feel really horrible. But it's the age we live in. And we go along and we take it day by day and we don't realize what's happening. And before we know it, time has jumped way ahead, you know. And the next thing you know, you don't know what serpent seed is. You've been in church all your life. You don't know what serpent seed is? Are you kidding me? You look around, a Sunday school teacher's giving them a coloring book page with Eve pulling an apple off of a tree. And you say, are you giving that to the kids? And the teacher goes, well, yeah, what's the matter? So the Lord said, do a Bible study. The parents came to me. You're going to have to do something fun with these kids. You're going to run them off. We're going to lose these kids. Now, this is a quote from a brother who I love and admire very much. You're going to run these kids off. You're going to have to do something fun with them. I said, brother, I am. I got another brother to help me. And I said, I'm going to put you in charge of the activities and you can do the fellowship stuff and the volleyball and whatever you want to do. You know, that's fine. But this is what the Lord told me to do. And I thought, you can ask my wife. I said, nobody's going to come to this. I'm doing a series on courtship right now. There was 47, I think, is what somebody told me. I don't count them, but somebody told me there was 47 there last time. I've never seen them respond to anything like they have this Bible study. Never seen anything like it. I'm seeing them born again. I'm seeing them get the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing them testify. I'm also having to deal with the other two. But that's normal, right, brother? Okay, here we go. Let's go in a little bit more. The unchangeable God working in an unexpectable way. That's Brother Branham's title of this sermon. The unchangeable God working in an unexpectable way. I got a question for you. How do you expect the unexpectable? How do you do that? How do you expect the unexpectable, brother? What do you mean when you say, did you come here expecting not?
I hope they're expecting something good.
You hope they're expecting something good. That's what he means. What's going through your mind? There's people sitting here tonight who've struggled and struggled and struggled their whole life. They've come to church every time the doors are open and they've struggled and they've struggled and they've struggled and they've gotten to a place where they said, okay, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be, but one day I'm going to have victory. I've done everything I can. I've worked and worked. I've read. I've studied. I've prayed. I've tried to deny the devil. I've done everything I can do. And I still fall on my face every day. I still, like a dog, return to my vomit. And Lord, I don't want to do it, and you know I don't want to. I'm sitting here tonight in church again. I come to another church service. And the brother stands here and he says, did you come expecting? Maybe it ran through your mind, maybe it didn't, because you've had it for so long. And you're a Christian, and you're trusting the Lord to help you. You're trusting Him to deliver you. Let's read about Moses for just a second. Moses was lined up, but it didn't come the way he thought it would. He thought, I'll go down there and kill that Egyptian. That'll be it. Then the children of Israel will say, so-and-so, he's our conqueror. But it didn't come that way. But he was still in his line of the scriptures. Now, when God revealed to Moses that he was going to be the deliverer, he didn't tell him how he was going to be the deliverer. So Moses' imagination immediately went into play, didn't it? He said, I'm going to deliver him. I don't know how it's going to happen and how it's not, but his anger came to play when he saw that Egyptian beating his brother. He went and he stopped him. He said, I'll be their deliverer. And he did it his way, from his imagination. Not being led of the Holy Ghost, not under God's orders, but under his own idea. Now we're talking about Moses. One of the greatest men of God that ever lived. God told him what he was going to be. And he took off without God. Jacob, all the rest of them, was in the line of the scriptures when God worked. You see, this is the key right here. It's when God worked. Amen. They were there, but God's the one who did it.
Amen.
You know? David didn't say, I can beat the giant. That's not what was in his mind. He was saying, I was there when God killed that bear. I was there when God killed that lion. I want to be there when God kills that giant. That's really the way his mind had come to work, because he wasn't looking for his expectation of how he was going to do it. He was just doing what God said and waiting for it to happen. And he believed it so strong. He believed it so strong. He believed it with all of his heart. He believed it to the point where he went onto the battlefield with a monster. And this is a true story. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't Walt Disney. He went onto the battlefield with a monster and faced him. Not with any self-assurance. It wasn't self-assurance. He wasn't sitting there. He was not this great giant of faith. He did not work it up. He did not become a tower of virtue like this man that sits here right now. He was a boy. He didn't have that, you know, the only thing he knew is God did it before. Why shouldn't I expect him to do it again? He did not rely on himself. When he looked in the mirror, he saw a ruddy little boy. He knew that was no match for that giant. He knew that. There was no doubt in his mind. He did not have an imagination concerning it whatsoever. He went down there waiting to see how God was going to do it. He knew he would, though. See, that's the difference. He didn't say, okay, I can do this and I can do that. And I'm going to hit that spot right there. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I'm going to go tell my brothers I'm going to whoop him. I believe I can hit that spot on his forehead. I think I can do it. So, God help me do what I want to do. God help me go do what I want to do. Help me fulfill my plan, God. Make my plans come true. Make my will be done, Lord. That's not what David said. David did not have it in him to say, let my will be done. He said, I was there when he killed the bear. I was there when he killed the lion. I know he can kill this dude. You know, don't take this in the wrong way, but I think he was thinking, my giant's bigger than their giant. You know, I mean, I really believe that with all my heart. I know what it's like to be a boy. You remember what it's like to be a boy? You ever had a bully come after you? You don't think so? I had some bullies come after me. I know what it feels like to be almost paralyzed in fear. unrealistic, absurd fear. You know, one quick jab and he'd have been done, but you don't know that. You're terrified. You're terrified. That bully's way bigger than life to you. Imagine what if he really was a giant. I mean, David had no reason to have any faith in himself whatsoever. That wasn't even planned. That was just that God jumped out on that one. And if we get ourselves lined up with the Word of God and hold on to it, what can I, Brother Branham, what can I do to be lined up with the Word of God? Here's a question. What can I do to be lined up with the Word of God? Somebody, I believe with all my heart, that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe he still opens ears to hear. And I believe with all my heart, knowing my God, I believe with all my heart, he can open somebody's ears right now to the answer. I believe you're sitting here. And I believe he can do it. Does anybody else believe it? Just take it in your heart and believe it. Amen. Every promise is yours. It's yours. You can have it. It belongs to you. Every promise in the book you sing is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in his love divine, for every promise in the book is mine. See? No matter what the promise is, it's yours anyhow, because God gave it to you. Amen. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountains, the water of life freely. Now you're saying, wait a minute, the whosoever wills, they could be out there in the denominations. Right? But here's where it changes a little bit. It comes up a notch to the bride. It's yours. It belongs to you. Any promise belongs to you if... And this is a whole different sermon about how big the word if can be. But if you have faith to appropriate it, and it'll do it if you'll just believe it. Now, but when Jesus came, we found out he was born in a manger. So right quick, the Jews disagreed. He didn't come the way they thought he was to come. So they just excommunicated him from their fellowship, and he was no more in it. But watch what he done. That didn't stop him. Now hold on. Here it is. That didn't stop him. He didn't come the way they expected, but that didn't stop him, did it?
Amen.
Did that stop him from saving your soul?
No.
Did that stop him from giving you the Holy Ghost?
No.
Raise your hand. Did that stop him from healing you? No. No. No, it didn't stop him from healing you, did it, sis? What they thought, what they expected, what their imagination was, what your thought, your imagination is, it will not stop him.
Amen.
It will not stop him. When they sat me down at the Baptist church and they said, we're going to have this vote today, and now we want you to cooperate. Called me in that morning that the vote was supposed to be. He called me in early. The head deacon did. He said, we want you to cooperate. This is going to split this church. And I said, I didn't want that. I told you we could just pray. We didn't have to do this. They're the ones that called for the meeting. They were the ones who called all the members who hadn't been there in 20 years. The place was packed. There was standing room only. People I'd never seen before. And never darkened the doorway since I've been there were there to vote. The way they had been told to vote. He said, Wes, you're popular. The people love you. The kids love you. That's because we'd been having a children's church and it started getting bigger than the main congregation. And we were preaching the truth to them. And it was growing. There was kids getting born again. The services were going a little longer than the adult services and they were getting mad about that. But other than that, it was great. They were loving it. Because it started out with about 8 kids and it was up to about 30 or 40. But they said, you're popular, the kids love you, the parents love you. Little old ladies were calling me, having me pray for their cats. I'm not joking, that actually happened. They said, you need to cooperate. We've got to figure this out. We want you to just back off and let him get rid of this deacon. He's a troublemaker. He had come to me wanting to know what was going on, and I told him I was trying to slip out quietly. Well, when I told him, he got on fire enough to confront the deacon board, and they wanted to oust him. But they didn't want me part of it because I was popular. The political spirit was there, and I saw it. I smelled that stinking buzzard from a mile away. I was like, this is politics. This is pharisaical. I didn't know anything. There was 5-year-olds that forgot more about the message than I knew at that point. But I'll tell you this, I knew that spirit when I saw it. Amen. I knew what that spirit was. And they did not want me to leave the man. Now, I also know enough about that political spirit to know that if I had compromised, it wouldn't have been long till they figured out a way to get rid of me and everybody be happy with it. I didn't think that far ahead at that moment, though. All I thought is they're not being just to my brother who believes the truth, and they're going to kick him out, and I'm not going to do that. That didn't stop Jesus in me. Knowing their expectation, knowing what they expected, what their imagination was, how they thought it ought to be, knowing that did not stop the Lord Jesus Christ in me. He doesn't change. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. That is the truth. You want the truth? That's the truth. You know, here's the thing. What religion wants is it wants victory without fighting. That's why they turn into lodges. They don't want debates. If the theology gets a little ticklish, if the devil's people don't agree with God's people, they want to keep it together. They don't want to stand for the word. They sell out. How many pastors have sat in the spot I was in and sold out? Look, if you keep preaching this, it's splitting the church. These people, these two families over here, and these two families over here, and these two families over here are all at each other's throats over this, and it's going to cause a split if you keep preaching this. And so that minister goes, well, because of the expectations of the people and the deacon board and the trustees and whoever else, I'll just back off of this for a little while. I'll let this simmer down. Of course, he just leaves it off the stove forever. He takes it off the heat and never puts it back on. The expectations, the imaginations become more important than the God who we serve. That's a dangerous, very, very dangerous place to be. That's a very dangerous place to be. Here's my expectation. Sister Helen that gave me that bag of tapes. My expectation is that one day, very soon, there's going to be a knock at my door, and I'm going to open it. And she's going to be standing there, 18 to 20 years old. And she's going to say, do you recognize me? And faith for a rapture is going to explode in me like a bomb. Now, do I understand it? Do I have an imagination about how it'll be? Maybe a little, but it's lined up with the Word. You know, I think it's good that God says, you can't imagine what I've got in store for you. You can't imagine it. I think it's wonderful that He says that. You can't imagine what heaven's like. Brother Branham went on the other side and saw it, and he even, as great as he was, couldn't tell us and explain it. He could just give us a shadow of an idea of what's in store for us. He looked at it and he goes, I just can't explain it. I just can't explain it. I'm telling you, did you come expecting the unexpectable tonight?
Have you got the guts and the faith and the bravery as soldiers of God, as the body of Christ? Have you got it to say, I don't know what's at that altar tonight, but I'm going up there to get it. Because I don't know what's there. I don't know what might be there for me. And I'm talking about in your heart. I'm not trying to drag you up here. I'm just saying, did you come tonight tired and weary from the world? And when the preacher said, did you come expected? And you said yes, but it really didn't sink in. Is it starting to sink in? What do we expect? What lines up and what doesn't line up? The denominations, they want victory without fighting. They want it easy. They want the money. They want the revenue. They want the nice building. They want it calm and easy. They want no trouble. They want no discomfort. They want no crying out. They don't want a preacher who's dancing. Who never dances in the spirit, by the way. But there was something going on up here tonight that made a preacher dance down there in the basement. And I'm not a dancer. What's going on here? Did you come expecting the unexpectable? How do you do that? How do you expect the unexpectable? You just trust God. You just believe. Brother Branham told us. He just said, he said, it's yours. Just take it in your heart and believe it. Just take it in your heart and believe it. The devil says you just need to accept it. God might get around to it one day, he might get to that thing that nags you, that thing that bugs you, that thing that's eating away at your heart, that thing that keeps you under a fog of condemnation. You know, if the gift was here to look at you as an individual and open up your heart like a book, what's there that you wouldn't want exposed? What's there that you wouldn't want every single person in this room to know? God's saying you really didn't expect to lose that tonight, but you can. He's a God who opens blinded eyes. He's a God who delivers people of evil spirits. It's one of the problems with this generation. It's one of the problems. You know, don't take this the wrong way, but people aren't superstitious enough. They've forgotten there's demons. They've forgotten we're at war. They've forgotten that there's angels and that there's demons and that there's a battle going on, that it's raging all around us. They've forgotten that the last day is on its way, that it's coming. They've forgotten. You know that right now, California's getting ready to go. Right now, it's getting ready to happen. And people reject the prophet because some little Kentuckian... Some little Kentuckian supposed to be the prophet of Malachi? Four that we're talking about? I mean, what are you talking about? This is crazy. How can you believe that? How can you believe that? You know, people come up to you and they're like, your church tells you you can't cut your hair. Your church tells you you got to wear dresses. Your church tells you you can't do this and you can't do that. It's some kind of a cult. What's the matter with you? What do you mean, Brother Branham? I heard there's a lady at Chick-fil-A who works with some of the kids that go to your church, and she said that you all pray to Brother Branham. And there's a guy that I work with who actually told me that Brother Branham was in a glass casket down at our church and that we pulled him out during the services and worshiped him. And you say, well, I just need to smile, keep my head down, and go to church because, you know, if I invite somebody to my church, they're not going to understand it and they're not going to like it and it's going to be hard for them to get it, and I don't think they can get it. I don't think they'll understand. I can't tell them God sent a prophet. They're going to look at me like I'm nuts. They're going to look at me like I've got two heads. You know, I'm embarrassed about this God I serve. Where are we at, people? Where are we at? Where are we at? I won't be ashamed of you if you're not ashamed of me. You can receive the impossible here tonight. You can receive what the enemy has told you all your life that you'll never be rid of. You can receive overcoming power and victory, but it doesn't come without fighting, because this is a war. Our God is our captain who leads us, who we follow, we go into battle with. He looks over his shoulder and he says, pick up your sword and come on. Join the battle, soldier. Come on. What are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? What are you ashamed of? This is Laodicea. Are you asleep? Are you in a nightmare where everybody's against you and nobody loves the Lord, and you and a few others maybe are going to go to heaven one day and the rest be damned? Or do you have the love of Christ in your heart where you're willing to put your neck on the block like Paul did and tell people there is a prophet who came in this age and told the truth? The real gospel has been hidden from your eyes. You've been lied to. You've been compromised into a grave. I sat in a hospital room and I watched my father. I watched his last breath come out of his body. And I thought, I've lost him forever. He made fun of my daughter and my wife. He told me, he said, Wes, you're going to destroy your life. You're going to destroy your family. What are you doing? He said, you're in some kind of a cult. What are you doing? I said, Dad, that's not the truth. I brought him books. I brought him tapes. I thought all hope was lost. He got to where he couldn't walk. Every time he got sick, every time he got in the hospital, he'd say, Wes, come and pray for me. But yet he was saying this other at the same time. I thought, what am I seeing here? I was laying there or sitting there beside of him in the hospital. He'd had a stroke. He couldn't talk to me. All he could do is just look at me with longing eyes, with tears rolling down his face, gasping for each breath. The doctor said he's just got a few hours. He said, you need to stay with him because he probably won't make it through the night. My son and I sat there and the devil was beating me to death. He's lost. He's getting ready to go to hell. You're going to sit here and watch him as his life slips out of his body and there's nothing you can do. He's going to go to hell. He's lost. He's rejected the gospel. He's rejected the prophet. He's rejected the word of this hour. He's lost. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What can I do? Two weeks before that, we had a quick conversation. And I'd made a testimony about it, and I'd forgotten it until God brought it back to my memory while I was sitting there. My dad, his legs had gotten so bad he couldn't hardly walk. Some kind of name for it. There's a reflex where he couldn't move his leg forward. He could stand, but when he'd try to move his leg forward, it just wouldn't do it. It looked like he just would start shaking, and eventually he could get it to go forward, and, you know, took him forever just to walk a few feet. Full strength in his legs, though, just didn't have that reflex that would allow his leg just to move. And he was reading one of the books, the old Prophet Goes to Africa book, I think, and he was reading the testimonies. And he told me, he said, Wes, he said, I got down and I prayed. He said, I got down on my knees and I told the Lord if he could do all that, if he could do that for Brother Branham, he could do it for me too. The Lord brought this back to my mind. My dad had read that and he had believed just a little bit, just the tiniest little bit. He had believed just a little bit. And the devil was telling me there's no hope. He's gone. He's in hell. But that the Lord brought that back to my memory at that moment. And I thought, well, I thought I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to sit here and listen to the devil. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life mourning my father, picturing him in hell every time I hear the word mentioned. I'm going to wait and see what my unexpectable God might do. Amen. Who knows what thoughts were running through my father's mind as I laid hands on him and prayed. As I stood there and I talked to him and I testified while he lay there unable to speak with his last breaths. Who knows what happened? Who knows what my unexpectable God did? I'm not going to believe the worst. I refuse. You know, I'm not going to let the devil take anything from me. I'm not going to give it to him. I know that. I'm waiting on that knock. I'm looking for it. I know I'm going to see Sister Helen again as a young girl. I actually sought out pictures of her when she was young. Went to her funeral and I looked at that board just to find a picture of her when she's young. I thought, I'm going to be able to recognize her when she comes for me. Every person that's ever sat under the sound of my voice is led by the Holy Ghost. She has a part of it. She has a part of it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I feel sometimes like I'm trapped in a cage. This flesh. I feel like it's a cage. I feel like it's a beast that I hold the reins to. And you can't be slack in holding the reins. And you have to tell it what to do. You have to cast down the imagination. You have to cast down anything that exalts itself against God. Any thought that would hinder the leading of the Spirit, you have to cast it down. You can't have victory without fighting in this war. The devil has people fooled. He may have people right here tonight that are fooled. Sit there and be good. You've been to that altar 50 times. You've tried to lay it down 50 times. You know good and well, no matter what that preacher says, even if you go to that altar, you're going to walk out to the car, and when nobody's around, you're going to do it again. You know it. No matter what he says, you know you're going to do it. You're just being emotional. You're just getting worked up just to be let down. You're going to be let down again. If you believe that God can deliver you and you go up there one more time, you're going to be let down. The devil says, you know, those men will lay hands on you and it won't do a blessed thing. They'll lay hands on you and they'll pray, and you'll go right back out to that car. You'll reach under that seat and you'll get that. It's right where you left it, and you know you're not going to lay it down. You know you're not going to leave it at that altar. Goliath makes his boast. And you're sitting there and you go, I know, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. That's exactly it. You know, David didn't. David didn't say, I tried to kill the bear and I did it. I tried to kill the lion and I did it. I think I'll try to kill the giant. That is not what he said. There is an unexpectable God. And I'm going to tell you something. He is here tonight.
Amen.
I have never danced in the Spirit in my life until I did down there in that office. I didn't know what was happening to me. Never had that happen. I was like, what in the world? I've never done this before in my life. I was walking around that desk, and he told me, he said, sit down there in that chair. I couldn't do it. I said, I don't deserve to sit in that chair. That man of God, I don't measure up to him. I don't measure up to him. I'm nothing. I couldn't sit in his chair. I was walking around that desk. I was pacing. I was seeking the Lord's will. I said, Lord, have mercy on your children tonight. Please, Lord, bring them your word. Let it go deep into their heart. Let it break the strongholds of the devil. Let chains fall off of these folks like they did me. Do it for them, Lord, please. And I was walking around that desk. And I was walking around and around. And the music started playing. And the Spirit of the Lord came into the room. And it overwhelmed me. I've never done that before in my life, brother. I didn't know what was going on. I thought, Lord, have mercy. If anybody saw me down here, they'd run me out of here. I thought, I wonder if that's going to happen when I walk out there tonight. I'm telling you right now, God is here. He's here. Don't let your flesh, don't let the devil, don't let anything else tell you. I'm telling you right now, you don't have victory without fighting. It's another day on the battlefield. Come and fight one more time. You might get it sitting right there in your seat. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me how you do it. Just do it.
Amen.
Just do it. I know this was a simple thought tonight, but I'm not going to apologize for it because I'm not ashamed of my God.
Amen.
I'm not going to leave him in the corner with dirty feet. I'm going to exalt him and push him to the front. This is the words that he gave me for tonight. This is what he thought would help you tonight. Whether you let him do it or not is up to you. And I don't mean to say that in a threatening overtone. I say it with great love, great admiration. You people saved me the last time I was here. You pulled me out of a pit. Boy, I come up against a spirit I'd never come up against before. He said, preach Christ and him crucified. And I tell you what, you all are real saints of God. Don't let the devil beat you tonight. Let's stand, musicians. Come, let's stand. I want to encourage you. He is an unexpectable God. Those of you who've got the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. Okay, when you got that Holy Ghost, did you know the hour? Did you know the minute? Those of you who've been delivered of something, raise your hand. Did you know that day when you woke up that it was going to be that day that you'd be delivered? Did you expect it? Did you make it happen? Or did God have mercy on you? Like he did me. We serve an unexpectable God. You never know what might happen if you'll just lay your heart open tonight and give it to him. You never know what might happen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I've never trusted you as much as I trust you now. I don't think I've ever loved you as much as I love you now. I don't think I've ever been as proud of you as I am of you right now. And I know there's only more in store. It can only grow from here. Lord God, I ask you to bless the work of this church. I ask you to bless our brother as he preaches the true gospel here from this pulpit. I ask you, Lord, to bless these people. Lord, I know that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ask you to open blinded eyes. I ask you to deliver people of evil spirits. I ask you to heal the sick. I ask you to raise the dead, Lord. I ask you to do all the things that you're known for, Lord. All the things that will exalt you and raise you up to the position where you can be hailed as the Lord and God of everything, of the creator of the universe and the captain of our souls. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. It's now time for us to lift up your name and to worship you, to exalt you. Lord, in this dark age, we want a light to shine forth from this church tonight, Lord, that will vanquish the enemy, that will make him tremble with fear, that will cast away demons, Lord, like fleas off of a dog's back. Lord, I just ask you, Father, to have the preeminence here now. Lord, let your blessings flow through this place. Have your way. Have your will. Let it be your work tonight, Lord. Let the unexpectable happen tonight, as Brother Branham said. You are an unexpectable God. We don't know what you can do. We don't know the extent of your power. We have no idea the length or the breadth or the width of your glory, Lord God. We exalt you above everything. We praise your name. We love you, Lord. We pour out our hearts to you tonight, Lord, and trust you with all that we are, with all that we're going to be, Lord. We're promised, Lord, that you are coming for us, and we're seeking that day, and we ask you to come quickly, Lord. But until then, give us the strength, Lord, to exalt you and lift you up and not do it with a feeling of shame, Lord, but do it with a victory that's battle won. Lord Jesus, we commit the rest of this service to your hands. And Father, we thank you for everything you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Nathan.
Let's just worship him together for a while tonight. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. You feel his presence here? Don't let him pass you by tonight. Amen. He's here tonight. His presence is here. Amen. Let's just worship together. Let's sing this. Oh, I need more, dear Savior. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more of you. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you in me. Oh, I need more. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. Oh, I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth, and your love. I need more. Brother David, Brother Trevor, some of you minister brothers, aren't you coming? To the finish, I need more of you. Father, I need more. Oh, Lord, I've got to have more of you in me. Oh, I need more. Dear Savior, Lord, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more. Oh, he's here tonight. If you need a touch, if you need healing, if you need deliverance, why don't you come down tonight? Why don't you come expecting that God's going to do something for you, expecting that he's going to do the unexpected. His presence is here. Don't let him pass you by. Oh, from the start to the finish, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you. Oh, I've got to have more of you in me. Lord, I need more. Dear Savior, oh, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more, oh, more of you, oh, till there's no room.
and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more. Oh,
it wasn't
your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh Lord, your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, Lord, your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should my soul cast down, your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy that rewrote my life. It was your mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy that rewrote my life. Your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy that rewrote my life. It was your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life.
Once more, you can be seated if you want.
Oh, your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy that rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, there's a sweet anointing, it's flowing down to make me clean. It's like a mighty rushing stream.
sweet anointing pouring out the oil and wine all over me. Oh, touching Jesus, that's all.
Together. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you'll answer my pleas. Oh, teach me not, oh, to
but just to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Oh, may that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Teach me, Lord, just teach me, Lord, to wait. As they play that softly, oh, Brother West was talking tonight about John when he got in prison there. Brother Branch said it this way. He said, his eagle eye got filmed over. He said, are you he or do we look for another? Oh, Jesus said, go tell him. The poor preach to, the blind are healed, the sick are delivered, the demon possessed are freed. Just go show him the works that are being done. Oh my. Even Gamaliel had enough sense to say, if it's God, who are we to be against it? Oh, I appreciate the move of the Holy Spirit. I appreciate what he's doing tonight. Maybe John could sing this while he was down there in prison. Said, teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Lord, help me humble all my pride. Oh, help me call on your name. Lord, keep my faith, keep it renewed. I want to keep my eyes on thee. Father, help me be on this earth what you want me. Maybe the Holy Spirit slip in the room, say, John, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew. Oh, I know you're downtrodden. I know you're discouraged. But you shall mount up, oh, with wings like an eagle. Oh, you shall run. Oh, you won't be weary. Church, you shall walk and not faint. Oh, Brother Nathan, my eagle eyes filmed over. I lost the joy of my salvation. Oh, but they that wait upon the Lord. Brother Bram said, one filling, but many refillings. Their strength, oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Ashamed of him tonight. All they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. All they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. All they shall run and not be weary. Oh, church, you'll walk. Teach us again tonight just to wait on you, to wait on the move of the Holy Spirit, to wait on your leading and your guiding, Father. Oh, sometimes the waiting is hard, Father, but Lord, teach us to wait on you, to wait on that unction of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Help us never to get ahead of your leading, Father. Oh, Lord, may your Holy Spirit do the leading and the guiding. Father, as I feel your presence here tonight, I believe that chains are being broken. I believe that the bound are being delivered. Lord, as I remember in 1965, Works as Faith Express, Brother Branham said, he went down through there crying, where's Roy Borders? God's delivering his people. Oh, I believe there's a great shaking going on again tonight, that there's deliverance of your people that's taking place.
not because of me or Brother Wes or Brother David or any of these brothers, but because you're in the presence. Oh, Father, you're in the midst. We're in your presence, Father. Not in the presence of a man or a ministry or a gift, but in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Father, how we love to be in your presence. There's no other place that we'd rather be, Father, but in your presence. Oh, just bless your people tonight, Father. Lord, in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ is their deliverance, is their salvation, is their filling, is their healing. Oh, Father, we have confidence in that name tonight. We glorify that name tonight. We magnify your name tonight. Oh, Father, you said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, Father. We're not here to lift up a man or a ministry. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ. We're here to lift up you, Father. Oh, when I think of Brother Branham, Father, and how his ministry down through the years, he didn't put the spotlight on himself, but he always pointed the people to you, Father. Oh, Father, things were done in his ministry that the world has never seen before, but yet it was you working through a man again in this age. It was a Son of Man ministry being manifested through a humble Kentuckian that went over the eyes, over the heads of the people, but yet you visited us again in this age, Father. You came and you shook this world again. Thank you for eyes to see it and ears to hear it. Oh, Father, help us not to fail to recognize what you did in this age, how you restored us back, how you redeemed us back, that we don't have to be bound anymore, but we're free. We're free, and who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not ashamed tonight of the tapes, Father. I thank you for the tapes. People make fun of us and say we're following a man, but oh, I'm so thankful to be following a man that followed you, Father. I'm so thankful. If I was in Moses' day, I would have been so thankful to follow that man right out of Egypt. Oh, if I was in Noah's day, I would have been so thankful to follow that man into the ark, Father. I'm thankful, Lord. They may make fun of us and laugh at us, but I'm thankful to be following a man that was vindicated with a message from the heaven, Father. Not from an intellectual mind or intellectual conception, but it came from your throne, Father. And you spoke again through mortal lips to your people. I'm not ashamed of it, Father. Oh, they might make fun of us and call us tapeworms and everything else. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed tonight of the ministry. Oh, I know even around the message, so many are criticizing and don't believe in it, Father. But I thank you that you're still using men in this age. I thank you that you still call men and you use them to encourage. You use them to lift up the people, Father, when they've fallen down. That you send men by our way that will encourage us. Lord, that doesn't take away from the message or belittle the message. But, Father, we come to point people back to the message. Oh, we never want to take away from the message or take the place of the messenger. Father, but we want to make sure the people stay with him and what he said. Oh, Father, I believe when he stood there and he said, I heard millions of voices crying, we're resting on it. I believe by faith, Father, that my theophany was standing there crying out, I'm resting on it. I'm resting on it. I'm still resting on it tonight, Father. Lord, we're resting on your word. We believe you. We believe your word. In the face of criticism, in the face of being made fun of, and oh my, even on the news and the websites and everywhere, Father, they make fun and call us a cult. But I'm thankful to be identified. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of his messenger, William Branham. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the pillar of fire. I'm not ashamed to be identified with that same cloud that followed them in the days of the wandering of the children of Israel in the wilderness. I'm thankful to be identified again tonight with this type of word. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. Oh, they that wait on the Lord. Hold their strength. Oh, they shall mount up. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Amen. God bless you tonight. It's been good to be in church. Amen. I have good news for you. Church doesn't start till 11 o'clock tomorrow. Amen. We got Sunday school at 10:30 for the children and regular service at 11 o'clock. It's been good to be in His presence. Been good to see what He's done. I believe we'll hear testimonies of what was done tonight. I believe God's moving. When brothers of like precious faith can join together, you say, oh, this brother's from that area and this brother's from that area and he's with this group and he's with that group. Brother Bram said he believed in drawing the circle bigger. Amen. I just happened to as well. He said one time that denomination came to him and said, Brother Branham, you had a man up there on the platform that wasn't even baptized the right way. He said, we're just going to draw a circle and draw you out. I thought many times, Brother Hoover, it would have been so easy for him to just come and say, Brother, I love you, and you know I love you, but it would help my ministry a lot if you just wouldn't sit on the platform tonight. You've been baptized the wrong way, and we don't really agree with that. And this whole denomination is going to cut me out if I have you on the pulpit again. And I'd sure appreciate it if you just sit in the audience tonight, Brother. Would that be okay? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but they're going to shut me out, and I could maybe reach millions of people through their denomination if you just help me out here a little bit. But he wasn't that caliber of man. He said, you can draw a circle and draw me out, but I'll just draw a bigger one and draw you right back in. He didn't compromise for anybody. He didn't compromise for politics, whether they were church politics or country politics or whatever. He stood there, Brother David, and he preached, I can't think of the title of the sermon right now, but Christianity versus Idolatry with John F. Kennedy sitting in the White House. We listen to it today, and it still burns our hide a little bit, but imagine listening to it in the 60s with the Catholic president in the White House. You say, aren't you afraid, Brother Branham? No, he didn't compromise for anybody. Amen. God help us to be that type of Christian that doesn't compromise at popularity or the bend of politics or the bend of whatever's popular with the people, but to stand for what the Word says. People change, opinions change. Man-made doctrines change, creeds change, but the Word of God never changes. I'm thankful that we're standing on a firm foundation. I appreciate our brothers being with us this weekend. And all my, I don't think, if you can do it, it would impress me, but I don't think you could find two brothers that are so different that I could sit and thoroughly enjoy both of them. Amen. As Brother Wes and Brother David. Now, you can maybe find two brothers that were more different, but I said that I could sit and thoroughly enjoy. I was very specific. And God impressed that on my heart to do that this way for this weekend. I know they have a very different style of ministries, but I believe we've seen that God uses all kinds of different styles of ministries. And I appreciate it. It just spoke to my heart both services. And last night, when grace became amazing. Amen. My little boy's been saying all day, Brother David, where is he? Where is he? Where is Mephibosheth? Oh, he's down here somewhere. You know, he's got a bad history and you know all this stuff. I don't care about him. Where is he? Oh, my. I thought it was so astounding. Brother David didn't say it exactly this way, and I promise I'm not going to preach to you tonight. I'm trying to dismiss, but I've just got a couple things on my heart. I thought it was so astounding last night that David didn't treat Mephibosheth the way that he did because of anything that Mephibosheth had done, good or bad. He didn't say, tell me a little bit about Mephibosheth. Oh, his works. Wait till you see his works. Wait till you see how good he looks. Wait till you see how good he dresses. Wait till you see. He just treated him the way that he did because he was a grandson to the king and to the king's son. I'm so thankful to be a king's son tonight. He didn't choose me because of my works. He definitely didn't choose me because of my good looks or because of my popularity or anything like that. He just chose me because I was part of him from the beginning. Amen. What a blessed people that we are tonight. Amen. I know some people still get that Catholic spirit on them around the message that thinks they can do some type of works and penance and things to make it in, but it wasn't what we did. It was what He did. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm looking forward to services tomorrow. Amen. Remember the Stillwaters camp this week. I believe it's their last camp this year, starting Monday. And the children will be out there and just pray for their safety and that the Lord will move in those services. I know a lot of people criticize and have all kinds of opinions and things. But I look at every time those baptisms and all the young people being baptized, and I don't have any stones to throw. I thank God for, Brother Bram said it's easy for somebody to sit and criticize what somebody's doing for God, but he said, I'd rather be found on the field making mistakes than to be found accountable criticizing a man that's trying to get souls saved. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. So I appreciate what he's doing for the young people out there. Appreciate the work that they're doing getting the message into the hands of the people around the world. It's gone around and around and around. When we took Brother Donnie and Sister Carol on a tour there, and we were standing in the chapel, and Brother Dan Evans asked Brother Donnie to pray. I don't remember the exact words, but he said something along the lines of, if Brother Branham could have taken the same tour he did, he believed he would be just so amazed at how from a few tape recorders, a few little old tape recorders, Brother Yarborough, that has gone around and around and around the world, calling out a bride in Zimbabwe and Congo and South America and all over the world. God's still calling. God's still calling. He didn't send me to call out a bride. He sent a prophet to do it. But I believe he did call me to do something. Even just to point you back and say, as Joshua stood there and Caleb, and they could say, remember what Moses said. Remember what Moses said. I believe there's still a group, Brother David, that's saying, remember what the prophet said. Amen. It stirs my heart and thrills my heart. Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Peter Dirksen is with us tonight from Rapid City, South Dakota. I didn't even recognize him at first. I feel bad when I called the minister brothers. I didn't call him up just simply because I didn't recognize him right away. And I didn't know he was going to be in town. But Brother Peter, would you come tonight and just dismiss us in a word of prayer? And we'll just sing a song as we go. Amen. I appreciate Brother Peter. He's a wonderful brother. We've got to fellowship several times there in South Dakota, and I love him and appreciate the church there. I have many friends that have come from that church in Rapid City. A few of them are here tonight. Amen. I appreciate our brother. God bless you.
God bless you tonight. Let's just bow. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, no matter where we go, Father, but how sweet it is to gather with believers, and Lord, to feel your presence, Lord. And like our brother said, Lord, there's no other place that we'd rather be than just to be in your presence, Father. And Lord, we thank you for every victory that's been won here tonight, Lord. Father, as we see the end time just coming in on us like a cloud, Lord. It's right here. We're at the time that Brother Branham spoke of. And Lord, it's no time to be playing games. It's no time to be fooling around, Lord. So we're glad for every victory that was won here tonight, Lord. And I just pray one more time for each one, Lord. Father, what they gain tonight, may they go forward with tomorrow, Lord Jesus. Lord, pray that you'd bless these brothers and their ministries, Lord, that Father, there'd be many souls still led to the kingdom before your coming, Lord. Grant, Father, I pray for this little church here, Lord. Father, just to see how you've blessed. I just ask that you would continue to bless, Lord. And Father, when the day of that rapture comes, Lord, may this church be found empty, Lord. Each one rising up to meet you in glory is my prayer. Father, bless them now, each one, as we go from this place. We commit each into your hands and pray and ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Sing it as you dismiss. Greet one another as you go. Oh, gonna wear.